Hello, and welcome to Citizen 411, your information directory for democracy, where we want everyone represented and empowered in our democratic republic. I'm Tracy Riley Kelly.
And I'm Teresa Torres.
Citizen 411 is powered by the League of Women Voters. We're nonpartisan, and we never promote candidates. We like to help people understand the issues. Today is Election Day, August 5th. We have a primary election. Now, on the ballot for the whole county is the library levy lift. And Teresa, do you remember we interviewed Jennifer Giltrup on our June show? So listeners, go ahead and go on our podcast site and re-listen to that show. It's a really important request. City residents, there is a race for one of the positions on the Vancouver City Council. Now, as far as August is concerned, did you know that August 26th is a little-known holiday? Teresa, do you know what the holiday is?
Only because you told me this morning.
Women's Equality Day. 125 years ago, women in the U.S. got the right to vote. So remember, this was hard fought. Vote, vote, vote. Nominations are also now open for the 2025 First Citizen Award. This is from the Greater Vancouver Chamber of Commerce. It's about civic and business leadership. The deadline is August 14th. Find the Chamber of Commerce of Vancouver to nominate.
So also, there's another important program coming up on September 8th from 6 to 7:30. It's called Why Does the Charter Matter to You? And listeners, after today, you might really want to put that on your calendar, because today we're supposed to be talking about the charter with a guest, Jackie Lane. Unfortunately, she's very ill and had to cancel. So guess what? We're taking her very finely written answers, and we're going to go ahead and try to do the program ourselves. I should say that Jackie has a lot of knowledge in that she's been involved in politics for many years. In 2020, she was the elector for Washington State in the Electoral College, and she ran unsuccessfully for the Charter Review Commissioner. Thank you, Jackie, for sending us the written answers, and we're just going to try to interview each other and do it ourselves.
We did more research, too. Wow.
Yes, we did. So, Tracy, here's the question. Let's see how well we do. So, in Washington State, the legislature establishes the general law for all counties, but voters may write their own charter. When and how did our county become a home rule charter county?
So Washington State is one of the states that allows their counties to have a home rule charter. And in 2015, we became the seventh county. There had been three unsuccessful attempts to establish home rule in Clark County prior to the successful 2014 effort. In 1982, they rejected a referendum to approve elections for freeholders of a city-county consolidation. In 1997, they tried again, but rejected a referendum again for a county charter, this time with freeholders. In 2000, the Clark County Board of Commissioners referred the election of the freeholders to the electorate. 21 people were elected, but that charter that they created failed by 187 votes. There was a considerable community concern, and this happened about 2013. Mm-hmm. There had been some county commissioners who had really been wheeling some actions. One of them was one person, Don Benton, as the department head for the environment, and many people felt he didn't have credentials. So the idea was these commissioners, it's too few of them.
Yes. And it was pretty partisan. So going back to the basics, what is a charter?
Well, a charter is basically a constitution. So voters approve what they believe to be a stronger and more effective form of government, sort of called good governance. And then what the idea is that it transitioned Clark County's form of government from the traditional commissioners to a council experienced with professional management added. And the idea was that there would be rather than a three-person commission, that there would be a five-member. And then lastly, the ability to create initiative and referendum on the county side.
Which we're not even going to touch that subject today because we still don't understand about initiatives and referendums. But.
And it's hard to say whether that's popular right
exactly.
now. Isn't it interesting as we look into this, we see some things that maybe their time has passed.
Yes, yes. So you were going to ask me, what's the advantage of Home Rule Charter? And I'm going to say... That the process of adopting a Home Rule Charter took a lot of years in the making, but in the end, after a diligent process of developing a solid charter, voters approved what they believed to be a stronger, more effective form of government for the county.
So I've heard something about this Board of Freeholders, right? There was something early on. Can you explain who they were and what that was about?
Yeah, they were elected. They what they did was they chose five positions for each commissioner district. So there were 125 people who ran.
Wow, wow.
Can I insert at this point? Because I counted. This time around, it's only 33. But
much more manageable.
Yeah, yeah. But... This was for a Board of Freeholders, and that's not what's happening this time. Anyway, the winners of that particular election, it's interesting to look because many of them now are elected officials or current candidates. So they're people who've stayed involved in politics. Okay, here's a question for you. So once the board was elected, how long did it take for them to hammer out a charter? And are they still called freeholders?
No longer called freeholders, now called charter commissioners, charter review commissioners. The process took about 7 months historically, and they met all sorts of times to propose the charter, the one that was lost in 2002. When it finally went again, remember, times changed, and it went on the ballot, it passed in November 2014. But in addition to putting forth the general question of whether a Home Rule Charter would be adopted, voters were also asked to look at three different elements of the charter. And this is really big, and so let's talk about this. One of them was to have five counselors.
Not commissioners.
And by the way, you know, one of the things that happened interesting in that is then that we're not going to be paid as much. Because if you're going to have more of them.
Oh, yeah, you're diluting
the
pot.
Yeah, so they actually had to accept that. Yeah. They had to accept that. And then they thought, well, let's have people elected by district only rather than at large.
Yep.
Right, because some of the people are more rural and different things like this. The very biggest thing is that they removed the executive power from the council to this professional county manager.
And I hear there are rumblings now. People are not happy with that? Tell me about that.
Well, yeah. It's like that was a big thing at the time.
Yeah.
Like, we shouldn't be having these amateurs running things. And now I will go ahead in the script and say there appears to be some problems that people feel like this county manager now has too much power.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting.
Sort of a sweet spot.
Yeah.
And then controversial also is the power for initiative and referendum. And why do you think, I'm going to ask you to guess, why do people think there's too many initiatives and referendums?
Don't ask me that. I don't know, because I know that's something that there's different ways to get initiatives on to the ballot, and I'm not sure.
Like I think it's just too many.
Yeah,
you know, sometimes these seem really frivolous.
Right.
Is what it seems.
And there was earlier a way to sort of hone that in and keep that from happening, and we'll talk about that later. But anyway, so I now get to ask you the question. So, could you explain what the day-to-day actions of what are the day-to-day actions of the Charter Review Commission members? What do they do?
They do not legislate. They are considering making, adjusting rules for the council to follow. And when these new people are elected, the first thing they're even going to have to do is draft the rules for how they're going to operate. They'll probably meet monthly. There will be subcommittees. Some of these meetings will be public, maybe not all of them. There will be a staff person who is going to be their person to assist and do background. You know, there's going to be legal counsel from the prosecuting attorney. And they are going to see what kind of changes they want. And any changes then would go next year on the November ballot. But they have to decide early on enough to get it on the ballot.
Yeah, because it's going to be on the ballot. And then there has to be an explanation because we're all going to be puzzled once again.
Yes, they would be these long initiatives.
Right, exactly.
That is so right.
Yeah.
Well,
we're going to take a break, and you're listening today to our program about the Charter Review Commission. This is Tracy Riley Kelly and myself, Teresa Torres. We're doing this program on our own today because, unfortunately, our guest was ill, but bear with us, and we'll come back after the break with more questions and answers.
For over 20 years, Vancouver Family Magazine has been covering local news, recreation, travel, education, parenting, personalities, and more. We connect your family to people, places, ideas, organizations, helpful resources, and local stories. Pick up your copy every month at over 300 locations all over Clark County or read online at vancouverfamilymagazine.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X for even more local news and family fun at Vancouver Family.
The Community Angels at National Women's Coalition Against Violence and Exploitation, or NWCAVE, have a dream, a world without violence. NWCAVE educates about the prevention of violence against women and children. Learn more at nwcave.org.
Welcome back to Citizen 411, and we're your hosts, Tracy Riley Kelly and Teresa Torres. Today, we are chatting about the charter review process and the candidates. So, Teresa, what are some examples of charter review changes from the last time that we had a charter review? And that would be, what, 5 years
yes.
ago?
Well, I think the most interesting one was that they took the council and then other county elected positions, and they made them nonpartisan, which I just think takes a lot of the politics. You can still identify which way people are leaning, but it does take some of the politics out of the whole process. We also went from 4 districts to 5, and we don't elect the council chair, and they elect them themselves. Every January, they elect a new council chair and then a vice chair also.
Well, that's rotating, so maybe better, more
Democratic.
Yeah,
I think so, yeah. An ethics commission? Wow, that's pretty great. They
yes.
established that.
My God, we need a national ethics
yes,
commission.
I've been thinking that too. And the sheriff's salary was increased, although I believe they're looking at that again. And then the redistricting commission process changed. Again, this is another radio show that we could do on redistricting, which we will do someday. But there's a lot of talking about that, and I believe that's coming up again.
Redistricting back in the news.
Yes.
So, Teresa, not all of the initiatives proposed in 2025 passed. And 2 of them that failed, that we really liked, by the way, you and I had spoken about supporting, which were ranked choice voting and a diversity initiative. Why do you think?
Well, to be honest, I don't think the two big parties, the Republicans and the Democrats, really want ranked choice voting, although they say they do, because it's a chance for independents to get onto the ballot. It's also hard to understand, as we were just talking about in the break, you and I have participated in mock ranked choice voting elections. We've read about it. I think it's something we all need to do repeatedly before we really understand it. Anyway, that failed. And then the DEI question. So Clark County tends to lean to the right, and I think they feel like diversity is not an issue in this county, and so it just didn't pass. All right, here's one for you, Tracy. What kind of power does the charter give, and how often can it be amended?
Well, it needs to wait for the session, you know, for the charter mm-hmm. review. But also, it can be amended in 3 ways. The Charter Commission can do it. Mm-hmm. The county councilors actually themselves can put these on, and they have to have 4 out of the 5 of them agreeing. And that could be an amendment. And then also, we citizens could. So we'd have to have 20% of the valid signatures of the number of people who cast a ballot in this last election that we had that elected Governor Ferguson.
Okay.
And then that begins that dialogue.
But we've never had one of those, do you know?
I believe not. I did not see it in my research.
That's a lot of work.
And then when we talked about some of the other the ones that didn't pass, what else hasn't passed, and why not?
Well, as mentioned before, DEI twice has been voted out. Yeah, and then there was a preamble in the original charter that required a statement of estimated increased expenditures. And from what we understand from our great source, Jackie, it seemed unnecessary, and so they decided to take it out. But again, we're not sure on that one.
I hope they publish their expenditures somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. And then there was an initiative requiring the prosecuting attorney's statement for any initiatives that appear on the ballot. They had to see if they were actually legal, because that's happened often where voters say, oh, you know, we got to have this, and then it gets knocked down by a court because it wasn't actually a legal process. Actually, the state of Washington, I believe, not only do they check for legality, but they will also tell you how much an initiative is going to cost us. So it's too bad that that did not pass and perhaps should be added back in.
Yeah. Well, so there's an election in November. There's quite a few mm-hmm. of them. There are, I'd be interested, you're a leaguer, in how you would evaluate candidates. But I'd also like to mention an interesting thing. There are way more conservatives running in this election than there were last time.
Yeah.
I know this because I read an editorial said that.
Hmm. Well, I would look for people who actually know about the charter, what the charter can do, and the charter history. Do they pay attention to county government? I have participated in a lot of the league forums, and you'd be surprised how many people are running for office and don't actually understand what their office does. I've been shocked at times with their answers. So look for people who actually know what's going on. Are they engaged with their community? Are they volunteering someplace? Are they doing other things? What kind of changes do they want to see with the charter, or do they just want it to be status quo? And are they engaged with the voters? Are they actually talking to voters? Are they listening to what the voters want?
You know, Teresa, this is interesting because in doing my very fast research today for this, I went on a number of these people's websites who are running for the candidates.
Yeah.
And your points are really well taken, because I thought that a variety of people talked about their community engagement, mm-hmm. but only a small number of them talked about what issues were going to be in front of the charter. You know, like a lot of them, like this mm-hmm. great guy mm-hmm. who does all mm-hmm. of these great things. But, yeah, you'd want to think that they know these issues, you know?
I'm always concerned about a candidate who sounds like they're running for homecoming and not for actual. Seriously, I've heard some candidates. It's like, this isn't high school homecoming. This is, you know, an actual political office where you have a responsibility. So.
And sometimes at our forums, mm-hmm. they struggle, don't
yeah.
they?
You
remember that the League of Women Voters has forums.
Yes.
And you'll want to get in for the November ones,
right.
The primary ones that have already taken place.
So we also have heard about a potential initiative around the county clerk that they would be appointed rather than elected. Do you know anything about this, Tracy?
Well, here's the thing that I know is, just like some of these other things that we've talked about, is this whole election seems very fascinating to me, because a number of things that people wanted and put into this charter review, they then decided they did not want.
Mm-hmm.
And so you would think that elected officials would be awfully important. But they're talking about the county clerk position, and interestingly, Teresa, only the county clerk mm-hmm. position, and that the idea would be that clerk needs more accountability mm-hmm. and more stability.
Right.
And that means that whole idea of experience, this kind of reminds me of that same idea of the county manager,
mm-hmm.
right? That some of these elected officials need to be more professional
right.
than some of them might. Again, did we elect the clerk because they were a great guy?
Yeah.
Or because they understood what clerkdom, right?
Right, right. Well, there are going to be some issues for the 2026-2027 Charter Review Commission. What are they going to take up? What do you think will be the top topics here?
Well, you know, let's talk about this together because we're both looking at the list and, mm-hmm. and I'll offer some. And
okay.
So you can go chime in. You know, one of the things I find very interesting is, again, this idea of weakening the county manager position. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to tell everybody to go ahead and look at these websites because it appears to me that that a whole group of them want to weaken the county manager position, but not everyone.
Yeah.
Right? So some of them, it seems to
and
be.
And what are their reasons for weakening it?
They've just got too much power.
Okay.
And they're trying to do things like diversity, you know, and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Or that's just my guess.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And certainly one of the other things is whether or not some county staff would report directly to the council.
Mm.
And so I'm not sure.
Oh,
you know, that would be
interesting.
And again, this clerk position, not mm-hmm. elected. Now, a lot of complicated stuff with the redistricting commission.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the questions is are these counselors, so remember that redistricting is when it grows and you need to re-put
right.
the boundaries. Well, what about if the boundary made you no longer in the district and
yeah.
you couldn't run?
I think that happened last time.
I think it did. And so I think they...
yeah.
I think they don't want it.
And no, they tried to redraw it so that that person could stay in the district is what I understand. It wasn't fair.
I think so. And then also the appointment process, very, very complicated. Some things there.
Mm-hmm.
There, some people are wondering with the county growing like it is that mm-hmm. maybe we should even add more of them. Now, remember, either they're going to take less salary,
right,
or we're going to have to cop up more
yeah.
More money. So what else have you found out, Teresa?
Well, as you said, some people want to bring DEI back. I believe that's one of the top things. Zoning, density, all of that stuff. Growth around here is a huge topic. So zoning to increase density and promote mixed-use development and dense development, streamlining the permitting process with private-public partnerships with accountability to ensure units are genuinely affordable. Did any of you guys understand that? Because
well, housing sure is too expensive.
Right. Exactly. Sure. And there's question, you know, some people are saying we're paving over the county and we're just sprawling and we want more density. So there's a lot of tug and pull, especially in the county. Fiscal restraint, public safety. We voted down the... in the city, we voted down, you know, more money for the police department, and I know that's a concern in the county too. Looking at the charter timeline and process, tweaking that initiative and referendum process. Again, we got to talk about those on another show. And then lowering the barriers to initiatives, more initiatives.
So this is perfect. You know, isn't this great that there's so many different ideas, right?
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
One of the things that I noticed, I'm just going to mention, mm-hmm. is that looking at people's websites is they're in no – these are probably have to do with people's political perspective, and
right.
we're not bringing that in
yeah.
Really in the show. But what was also interesting is that – some people are talking about public safety in a really big way,
mm-hmm.
and then and some are talking about fiscal restraint in a really big way,
mm-hmm.
and others are not. You know, it is really interesting. There was a statistic that just came out that that actually, you know, there people are more safe. Crime is going
right.
down. We did a show about that
yeah.
last year,
yep.
and crime is continuing to go down.
Mm-hmm.
But for a lot of people, it doesn't feel that way
no.
to them, right?
No. Their perception is because something has happened to them, and that's just because there's more people. So the likelihood of something bad happening is what makes them feel unsafe. Well, we're going to have to wrap up our show pretty soon here. But I want to say, as we've gone through this, as much as we've missed having Jackie here, it forced Tracy and myself to look at this a little more carefully. And the thing I was thinking about was, you know, we have some documents that rule us that are baked in stone. We have to do amendments to them. The charter is a way to tweak things every 5 years, which I think is an interesting concept, a way to do government.
So democratic.
Yes.
Well, Citizen 411 is powered by the League of Women Voters of Clark County, produced at KXRW in Vancouver. And that's our show for today. KXRW is a nonprofit community radio station, and you can learn more and listen to any of our shows anytime by going to the Citizen 411 page on the KXRW website. Thanks, and you can find out more about the League of Women Voters by visiting our webpage. That's the show.
KXRW programming like this is made possible with the support of The Columbian, proud to be Southwest Washington's leading news source. Since 1920, the Campbell family has owned and operated The Columbian and ensured its award-winning news coverage. For the most thorough daily coverage of local news, national news, and local sports, both in print and online, and for subscription information, visit columbian.com. That's C-O-L-U-M-B-I-A-N.com.